The book of John, chapter 1, verses 1, and then we go to verse 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then go down to 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, and came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, good morning. Well, I've made a few bad decisions in life, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I love Australian birds. I love Australian parrots, and I love this area here between Ardlethan, Area Park, and Coolum, because you guys have got some really interesting parrots over here. You've got the superb parrot, the blue bonnet, and sometimes the Major Mitchells come in. And if there's anything else a little bit unordinary that does come in, please and come and talk to me that after the service. But I come over to Area Park not so long ago, and I was going up and down the dirt tracks there, having a look around. And the bad decision that I made was that I put some kangaroo whistles on my car not so long ago. And you know what I should have put on my car? I should have put rabbit whistles, because you guys have got so many rabbits over here around the area. But today I've got a little bit of a challenge for you. But I want you to tell me what is in those containers, so you can pass them along. And while you're figuring that out, I'm going to draw something on this board here. You can see by my artistry, I didn't do real good at art in school. How are we going with the containers? Have we passed the containers along? What is in the container with the W on it? Not too bad, not too bad. What would you say is in the T one? About the same. All right, I'm going to explain. What we have in this little container here with the W on is the wind. I went out the other day and I caught the wind and I put it in this container. Now, as we look at it, we can't see that wind. We can feel the wind sometimes, and we don't know really a lot about the wind, but we know it's there. Now, with this particular container, I closed the lid on it at a certain time, so it's like a time capsule. So we've got time in that capsule. Now, as we look into it, we can't see that time, but we know it's there. And my topic for my sermon today would be, who is God? Let me pray. Father, would you just be with us now, Lord? And these are things that we've been over before, but we thank you that you are our God. And we just want to talk a little bit about you today, Lord. We want to glorify you, and we want to thank you for the beautiful God that you are to us. Have you ever laid in bed of a night and your mind just goes round and round? And you think about this and you think about that. You might be thinking about the crop. You might be thinking, hey, the sheep aren't fat enough. You might be thinking that the fences are down. You might be thinking, when is it going to rain again? It might be finances. It might be health. It might be a number of things that you're thinking about. And then all of a sudden, you will fixate on one particular thing. And the other night, I was laying in bed and I fixating on, who is God? Why would God even be bothered with us? Who is this God that we serve? Who is this God that we have our faith in? And sometimes our background depicts how we perceive this. I came from a Catholic background, and I'm in no way this morning running Catholics down or anybody down. I'm just saying how it was. We come from a Catholic background, and me and my brothers were altar boys back in the 60s. And we had a God back then that was ready to pounce on us and ready to punish us. And at Kapuka, the little church that we had at Kapuka, we had a picture on the wall. And this was a picture we had on the wall of the chapel out at Kapuka. And it was a terrifying picture, because the picture was like this. This is sort of like a hole in the ground, or a well, if you can get the picture. And inside that well, or that hole in the ground, were all these people And all these people were trying to get out and they were screaming. And on top of the well were these bars. And they couldn't get out. And they're trying to get out and they're burning alive and they're screaming. And I said to the priest, I said, what's going on there? And he said, those people are in a place called purgatory. I said, what do you mean? He said, they're the ones that are in there and they've got to be, their sins have got to be purged. I said, how long are they in there for? And he said, some are in there for 500 years, some are in there for 1,000 years. I remember that. Because back then, in the Catholic system, where I was a little boy, we had a two-tier system. We had mortal sin and we had venial sin. Mortal sin was the bigger sin. Sins like even missing church on a Sunday was a mortal sin. Adultery, murder, the biggest sins. And if you missed church on a Sunday, that was a mortal sin. That would put you in hell forever. You'd have to go to the priest, go to a confessional and confess your sins. And then the priest would give you some penance. And your penance might be five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys. And when you said those prayers, you're absolved. Now, for the venial sins, they were the smaller sins. And you'd go and, like swearing or, you know, pulling the cat's tail or something like that, I don't know. And with the venial sins, you'd have to go to the priest, go to the confessional, and say maybe two Our Fathers and two Hail Marys, and then you were right again. So as a young Catholic boy, we had this picture of God, and he was ready to pounce. And then even in our theology, some of our evangelical theology that we've got, we might have strict right-wing Calvinists, you know, that say that if you're not chosen, you haven't got a chance. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God wants all to come to repentance. What's it say in John 3:16? Whoever. And then we have liberalists. God loves all. And you can have whatever God you like. You can have Buddha, you can have Krishna, you can have Muhammad, you can have Allah. Because they all, don't they? They all lead us to the same place. But to get an honest picture and a true appraisal of God, we have to go to the source that was written by God, the God of the universe himself. His book, his word. We have to go there so that we can get a picture. And a few things that we can learn about the God that we serve. Number one, going back to Genesis, God is a creator. God is also spirit. God is also omnipresent. God is also plural. And as we read through the Bible, we see that he is a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one that we all love, God is love. But how can we, as a people, get to know God better? You know, if you research the Old Testament, you'll see God as creator and God as a plural being that wants the best for what he created. And we see in the narrative of the story, his creations, us as humans, we pull away, don't we? We pull away from his authority. The thing is with God, he is infinite and we are finite. The truth is we can't fully understand everything about the person of God. You know, I've got parrots at home. Love my parrots. I've just got two baby Rosellas that just come out. And it's been very exciting around the house. But, you know, I can go down and I can whistle to my birds. I can feed them. And I've got a relationship with those birds. And I suppose you've got dogs and cats and you can have a relationship with those pets. But if I went down and said to my parrots, hey, parrots, I've got a huge problem. My transmission in my ute has gone and I need $5,000 to fix it. You know, my white cockatoo would mostly look at me and say, hello, cocky. They don't fully understand me. I said to my 13-year-old grandson the other day, I don't know if it was Cooper or Max, that I can't understand how God has always been there. It's beyond our mind, isn't it? With no beginning. He had a pretty good answer. He said, Pop, God lives in another dimension, a spirit world. We are mortal and he is spirit. God is the ultimate being. There can be nothing like him. He's so majestic, powerful. He's the greatest. Nothing compares to this God. So for a few minutes we have today, I'd like to get a picture, a realistic picture of the God that we put our trust in. You know, over the last few months, I've been reading through the Gospel of John, and it's a completely different gospel in other aspects to the other three gospels. It doesn't start with the genealogy of Jesus. It doesn't start with the virgin birth or the manger or the wise men. It starts with an infinite description of God as the very, as Jesus as the very Word of God. Now, I know that you know all this stuff, but it's just a refreshing for all of us for 2026. John 1:1 states, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning." So we see that this Word is God. And in verse 14, it states, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." So what it's saying here, that God the Son, Jesus Christ, became a man, and he came down to earth and he dwelt amongst us. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And all through the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about that intimate relationship that he has with his Father. Just so, I wanted to tell you a secret here this morning. Do you reckon that secret would go outside of the church here? Hands up. Righto, I've got a secret to tell you. Say if I was to tell you a secret, and the secret was, I just happened to be the brother of Donald Trump. You'd most probably laugh. I know that me and Donald don't exactly have the same hairdo. I'm, of course, blessed to have the perfect hairdo. But if I started to show you some evidence, you might be swayed. If I started to show you a 100% DNA match between me and Donald, if I started to show you an old birth certificate, if Donald's mother gave a little boy away 70 years ago and the proof just started coming in, well, the Bible is quite implicit about Jesus being the Son of God. This Jesus was there with the Father in the beginning, and there are over 30 pieces of scripture to prove this important fact. Also in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God states, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness," plural. If God was singular, I know there's one God. It's hard to explain this, but if there was, you know, he would have said, "my image." I'm trying to get a little bit of a picture of what we can understand this morning about God. In John 8:58, there's a story where Jesus is getting fed up with how the Jews and the acceptance of him. And he makes this incredible statement that he is the great I Am, the Lord really who visited the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. The Jews tried to kill him because they believe he was blaspheming. He was more or less saying, "Hey, I am Jehovah God." In John 6:46, Jesus claims to have seen the Father. And in John 10:30, Jesus makes this amazing statement, "I and the Father are one." So laying in bed, I can envisage in my finite mind the God of the universe. Our God, with all his godly attributes, is the person of Jesus Christ. And as you and me read the four Gospels, we not only get a picture of his humanity, but we also get a picture of his character. And that character is the character of the Father. You know, we all have earthly fathers, and their attributes can be good and honourable, and sometimes their actions can be flawed. You ask the kids or the mother what the father's like, the leaves of a morning in a suit and a tie, and you might get a different answer from his peers when he's out there in the world. But not so with the character of Jesus, who totally betrayed the Father while he was on earth. You know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they say there was a 400-year silence. Malachi, Isaiah, and many other prophets prophesied somebody special that was going to come along. And that someone special, and that's why we're sitting in church here today, was Jesus Christ, the Word fulfilled in Jesus. So our Jesus was fully man and fully God. This is our God. There's another little God in the Bible as well, and his name is Satan. And the Bible states he is the father of all lies. And from the time of Adam and Eve, people have followed him. And we see the world in all sorts of trouble because of that. We see war, hate, murder, all those sorts of things because we follow the wrong God. But what was our God like when he walked on the earth because he betrayed Father God? His person was one of love, care, compassion. He did miracles to help people out, looking after all classes of people. A God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness. We have a good, good God, and we should be grateful for his kindness towards us. But there's more than that, isn't there? He wants a relationship with us once again. Even though, and I'm the first to admit it, we are so, so unworthy. Not only did our God, the God of the universe, come to show us how to live and to show us the character of the Father, but he came to rescue us from a life. Look around the world today. He came to rescue us from a life of self-destruction. Do you ever go around, even in your town or when you go to Wagga or somewhere like that, and you see society is just self-destruction in ways, isn't it? And he also came to give us a hope for eternity. He came to show us what real love is. He died in our place on a cruel Roman cross. You know, if you've ever watched, anybody here ever watched The Passion of the Christ? Hands up, I've watched it. Isn't it? You know, I reckon some people couldn't watch that because it's just so cruel, it's so ugly, and it's so personal. But that's what our God done for us. You know, in the Old Testament, as you look at the Old Testament, you'll see that they sacrificed animals for the sins of the people. But you know what? Those animals couldn't take all the sin away, because those animals, they might have looked perfect, but they weren't perfect. But our Jesus was perfect. And all sin, this is the truth, all sin has been paid for. It doesn't matter if they're mortal or venial. We have to come to him in faith. Sure, we have to have a life of repentance, but all our sin is paid for. Then on the third day, after his death, he rose from the dead. And because our God, our Jesus God, rose, he states that we who believe in him and repent of our sins, one day will rise also. So now we get a little bit of a picture of our God, and it's all good. It's all gracious. The price has been paid for our wrongdoing. So now we can get a picture, get an image, and have a relationship with him. Sometimes in movies, and you would have seen this too, or books, you'll see a picture of God, and he's up there on the throne of heaven. He's got this big white woolly thing coming down, big beard, and he's got this golden spectre. And some people believe that God is nothing but merely a fairy tale. And some people don't even think God is anything. But the person of God for us is Jesus. Today, we can't see him personally because he's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But he's still with those who believe in him. And Jesus stated, I will never leave you or forsake you. God the Holy Spirit now takes over and lives in us and takes the direction of our lives. And the Holy Spirit has the same values as Jesus and the Father. And those attributes are, and we should be practicing those attributes as we listen to the Holy Spirit out there: love, goodness, caring, patience, gentleness, and self-control. And He, the Holy Spirit, also part of the Godhead, wants to continue to direct us and show us Jesus in our daily walk. So I'm just here today to encourage us that when we want to understand the God of the universe more, look to Jesus. Look to His life in the Gospels as He strived to do the Father's work. See Him also, and this is a beautiful thing, see Him also for 2026 as your personal Saviour. He died and rose for you and me, for all of us, that we will have eternal life. And this God of the universe now, and this is a beautiful thing, lives in you and me. So we can be encouraged to have a great, loving, caring God that wants the best for us. So as I lay in bed now, I vision Jesus and I want to listen to His Spirit, because our God wants the best for us. His Spirit leads us also, doesn't He, to repentance. So as we go into 2026, a new year with new challenges, let's be grateful that our God loves us. And even though tough situations will come in, let's press closer into Jesus. He'll give us the strength to help us pull through. And also the promise of eternity with Him forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. For without Jesus, Lord, we would just be hopelessly in trouble. We really would be. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord, that directs us, Lord, and teaches us and admonishes us through life. We thank you, Lord, that we can understand more about you by reading who you were and what you were with the Father's attributes. Father, bless us all now and help us to go out into this week and be the people you want us to be for 2026. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.